Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, boys. We have a baseball game this week, right? Is it Friday?
Yeah.
I think the Twins play on Friday night. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they play the Golfers.
Oh, is that?
Right.
Is that the first game? I should pull this up.
First game of John Anderson's last season as Gopher baseball coach.
Man, legend. Yeah, they have. So they play the Gophers, and then their first like actual Grapefruit League game is Saturday against the Pirates coming down from Bradenton.
Grapefruit League.
Are we still calling it the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League?
I think we should be. Okay. I think we should be. When's the first split squad?
Yeah, they don't usually. Well, it looks like actually Monday, March 4th is the first split squad. Because they've got home against Atlanta, and then they go to Sarasota against Baltimore. So 2 weeks is the first split squad game.
Okay.
And then there's another one on the 13th. A couple more.
And then we definitely have to wait a while to get our first look at them on Bally's. I think it's about halfway through spring training that they start to televise a few games.
Mm-hmm.
Sports... Detroit will get a game before Bally Sports. Like, we'll get the Bally Sports Detroit feed for a game before Bally Sports locally here does their first game.
From Lakeland, Florida, home of the Bengals, the winter home of the Bengals.
You and Don used to go to Dunedin, the Blue Jays.
Dunedin, Blue Jays, yep.
Right? When's the last time you guys did that?
Oh, we haven't been there for probably 8-9 years to Dunedin, because then I started to go to Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Dunedin, I felt, was a preferable stop as far as the town went. It was more fun, but...
Good time in Dunedin?
Yeah. We actually drove one day from Dunedin to Lakeland to go see a Tigers game. Not impressed with Lakeland.
Dude, I would say the middle of Florida down there, when you're driving from, like, Fort Myers over to, like, Jupiter, there are some dark places in the middle of that state, man. Like, smoldering houses and, it's like, Florida. Is anyone helping these communities? I don't know what's happening. Yeah. But we got a few topics to jump into here on this Monday Score North Twin Show. Starting with this one, boys. Byron Buxton is back. And now I think you're getting all across baseball. You're getting a lot of, like, everyone's feeling great types of stories, best shape of their life types of things, right? It's the annual Miguel Sano shows up 30 pounds lighter, ready to tackle, which, again, he showed up 30 pounds lighter again, this time for the Angels. So Byron Buxton said, quote, "The pain is gone, so I'm a lot more happy, 100%. The last couple of years were definitely painful, just waking up feeling like a knife is in your knee every morning." And after this procedure, it was the flap on the front of his knee, right? They did some crazy surgery. So he's coming into camp. He's ready to play center field. He says he feels 100% different, and he no longer has a knife stabbing him in the knee feeling every morning.
Yeah.
Are you excited for Byron Buxton, or are you skeptical?
First of all, I'm going to start this by saying I hope it goes really well. Like, I really do. I'd love to see, selfishly as a baseball fan and a person that follows the Twins, I would love to see him healthy. We've seen glimpses before, and it's pretty damn impressive. So I'll preface this by saying I hope everything's great, but I have so many questions off this quote. Number one, why did it take till last October to remove this flap if the flap was causing all of the problems? Like, it's the
surgical
knee.
Surgical Judd coming in here.
It's the knee. When you do the MRI, you can see what's right and what's wrong. Like, it's not like, hey, John, come here. Yes? Hey, this flap. Look at this. You think we should take it out? I have so many questions about why this took so long. I also am curious, is this now no longer chronic? Because if you guys go back to Rocco, not last season, but the season before that, he talked about this being a chronic condition.
Yeah.
And we know for a fact that it was painful for Byron to stand. Like, the problem was not him pursuing fly balls. It was literally the act of standing. So are all these things now fixed? And if they are fixed, why did it take this long to take the flap out? Like, I fear that we are hoping that this works. And for right now, after a winter of not probably having to stand much, that it feels good. But I think it'd be really naive to just assume that this is all fixed and fine. So I hope I'm wrong in saying that. But I definitely have a lot of questions about why this is suddenly, why we have found the magical treatment.
I mean, I'm guessing he delayed surgery because it would have wiped out the rest of the season for him. And I know he was able to come back and have, you know, a pretty much meaningless at bat in a playoff game, but it probably would have ended his season and he didn't want to go down that route yet. And clearly with the surgery and the timeline that he took, it's now February, spring training's here, all systems are go. So he was probably reluctant to get the surgery at the time because he knew it would wipe out the rest of his season when he still thought he could maybe compete.
That's I think Judd's saying, like, why not do it 2 years ago? Is right. that what you're...
He had this 2 years...
Judd Zolgad, MD?
He had this 2 years ago.
So well, like, no, he had the pain 2 years ago, right?
Yes, but he also had a surgical procedure done, if I'm not mistaken, late in 22 as well. Why didn't we take the flap out then if the flap was the culprit?
Can we ban flap for the rest of the show? Can we just...
Yeah, you know, some people hate the word moist.
Flap.
The word flap.
How's flap that? Like, okay, like why didn't we take out the problem tissue? How's that?
Yeah, there
why
we go.
Didn't we extract the better. Problem tissue 2 years
the
ago
flap.
And then go into 2023 ready to hit the ground running? I hope he's fine. I really do. I am not in any way, shape, or form saying that I want this not to work. I do. I'm just skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can. I guess even he probably has a little bit of question in his head, too, as great as he apparently feels. But he's still, it's crazy, man. Like, he's still only 30 years old. In some ways, I can't believe he's 30. But in other ways, it's like, man, he's been through so much the last 5 or 6 years. Oh, yeah. He still has a few years of prime left if he can get out there. And even if he can only play like 120, 125 games, if that's in center field and his bat. So, yeah, okay. I'll take the bait. I, despite his history, am excited about Byron Buxton's 2024 season. I know he hasn't played 100 games since 2017. Yep. Hell, he hasn't even played more than 92 games since 2017. And he comes in every year. There's like some level of hope. They've got a plan. We're going to go DH and slow cook or we had a new procedure done. And so every year there's this hopefulness for Byron Buxton, but I am taking the bait and I think he is finally going to have something close to a healthy season and we'll see. Now they should have a plan. Okay. They should know who their center fielder is going to be for 130 games. If he comes out of the gate in March and the knee flares up again, right? Like, you can't just go in plan A, B, and C being 130 games in center field for Byron Buxton. Is Austin Martin ready? Willie Castro, I don't know about him for 130 games.
I don't
games.
Care if he is ready. He is ready, and I'm not prepared for him.
Michael Taylor want to come back and play for $5 million and be kind of a fourth outfielder?
And what's the number on Buxton games in center field, too? There's got to be a number that's been picked as a goal. So, like, that's my question. And they're not going to tell you that, and I get why they won't. But I'm just curious, what's the number? Like, how many times a week do you expect him to play out there on a consistent basis? I'd be curious
so
what that is.
Here's the last few years for him. This is games played in center field. We'll say games started, because he could come in sometimes as, like, a pinch hitter and then stay in center field. So games started in center field, obviously none last year. Mm-hmm. 51 in 2022, 59 in 2021, 2020, that was pandemic, but he only 35. They played only, what, 60 games,
60
I think?
60 or something.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
He played 78 games in center in 2019, 26 in 2018, and then 131 in 2017. Mm-hmm. So the most he has played in any year since 2017 is 78 games starting in center field.
So,
I mean, that's, I would say, I don't know that I'm DHing him very often. So I would say 90 or 100 games in center field. Let's go.
Yeah.
You're feeling good. Got the flap. You're feeling
good. The
flap
is out.
I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't know. I feel like the flap, like they're like, why are we optimistic this year? Because we removed the flap.
I have the same stance. Everything is gravy with Byron Buxton. I like this team without Byron Buxton, and I really like this team if he's really healthy, but I'm not holding out that Byron Buxton is the missing piece necessarily, or that they need Byron Buxton to play 140 games. They made their playoff run. They accomplished everything for the most part without him during that stretch run last season. If you get him and he's back and he's healthy, holy crap, we have a whole new weapon to unload here. But they were able to survive without him, and until he can prove he can stay healthy, my optimism train with Byron Buxton has definitely taken a nosedive for probably the first time in his career.
I have tremendous trepidation with the current plan and center if Buxton can't stay healthy unless they sign somebody, which I think they probably will do.
That's the one thing. Like, you are sort of, Michael A. Taylor was a top five defensive center fielder in the league and gave you enough pop. He hit enough home runs and some big spots.
Yep.
So you're just going into this huge unknown if all of a sudden it's like Austin Martin is going to maybe be your Willie Castro. So, yeah, but he might be the difference between an 86-win team and a 90-plus win team. He might be the difference in getting deeper in the playoffs if you're getting, and it's been so long since we've seen that version of Buxton in center field. We saw glimpses in 2022. He was an all-star. He was one of the best power hitters in baseball. Like, we've seen glimpses, but if you're getting the 2022 version before his season got derailed, that's an American League changing addition to your team. You guys are skeptical. I'm buying in. I'm gonna take the bait here.
I'm skeptical, but I'm hopeful. Okay. I do want to see him healthy. So
this is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. Let's get to the next one here. Carlos Correa also looks great here. Again, these are all the, hey, everyone's reporting. Everyone feels great, looks great, best shape of their life, changed their swing, all these things. So Bobby Nightingale, beat writer for the Pioneer or for the Star Tribune, he says Carlos Correa tweaked his swing this offseason, and hitting coach David Popkins said, quote, "I haven't really seen him hit balls like that in a long time. I don't think I've ever seen him clear the batter's eye. He hit one way over the batter's eye." So Carlos Correa feeling much better with that foot and looking to increase his power output with a new swing. Are we buying potentially an all new, refreshed, healthy version of Carlos Correa here?
I'm buying it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy who played in the playoffs was still not healthy, but because the plantar fascia had burst or broken, it helped him out. And defensively, there's no question there. So Carlos Correa deserves major criticism if he in any way, shape, or form hits like he did in the regular season in 2023. But I understand he was hurt, and he did talk about how he basically, I think, he couldn't really hit off the balls of his feet because it hurt too much.
Yeah.
So he was trying to prop himself up and change things. So yes. And in this case, it's a very recoverable injury. It's not like a lingering thing. So yes, I am hook, line, and sinker in on Carlos Correa being an all-star shortstop in 2024. And for us to see a season like we saw him play, especially against the Blue Jays, which was a difference-making player.
Yeah, I mean, when he left the Astros, he was top five in MVP that year, coming off his contract year. And his glove is still obviously very, very smooth, and his bat has kind of been more of a complimentary piece. But in the postseason, he is legitimately one of the best playoff hitters of all time. So I'm actually more optimistic and putting more stock that if he is back to the hitter he was in 2021, where he was a top five MVP candidate, that's going to lift this team up more than the unknown of what Byron Buxton is. I mean, Carlos Correa has turned himself into one of the better defensive shortstops in the league. He's a very clutch performer, but if he's back to being the guy he was in 2021, and a lot of his 2022 production, his first year at the Twins, I will kind of tep at that. That was kind of garbage time. Like, he had a hot September after kind of getting off to a slow start in that season too. But if he is the guy who he was at the end of Houston and who has majority in his Houston career, that's going to lift this team up. He can't have a, you know, an OPS plus of 94 again, but still be a really good defensive player. He needs to be a guy who's a top 10 MVP candidate for this team.
Yeah, this was easily his worst offensive season of his career last year. And then if you want to look at just like overall, he was still good defensively, but not as good as he would have been with a fully healthy foot too. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he still played that well defensively on a bum foot is pretty amazing. 2 years ago in Houston, or 3 years ago now, 2021, his last year in Houston, top five MVP, I believe, what Declan just said. He was a 6 wins above replacement player, which is, that puts you like top 10 position players. Then his first year with the Twins, and he had kind of a weird season. He kind of went away offensively for a while and came on late.
Yep.
4.5 wins above replacement. But he was a late signee too, but still 4.5 wins above replacement. Last year, only one win above replacement because his bat was so bad. So you're looking at if he just gets back to being the player that he was pre-injury and he stays healthy and plays 135, 140 games, it's like a 4-win uptick probably without even like changing anything else. It's just he's a better player. So, yeah, I do buy this. He's had some years in his career, too, where he's been an on-base machine, which he wasn't last year. He's had years where he's hitting in the mid-20s for home runs and hitting a bunch of doubles, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of room for growth there, and I'm buying into that one as well.
And if he follows through on the fact that he's basically the de facto GM of this team, he will convince another Scott Boras client to sign here in late March.
Exactly, which is what we're going to get into next here, because there are some guys still sitting out there. Classic Scott Boras. Everyone's reporting to spring training and he's still telling his clients, hold on.
Oh yeah.
I can get you. Just hold on one more second. Dude, it would piss me off so much if like you're telling me that there's not another agent that couldn't have got you a contract back in November or December. Like Boras loves to do this, drag this out into spring training. And so we will get to this really interesting list of remaining free agents and if they fit with the Twins. You tell us first, Judd, about Livia and how our friends can lose some weight around here.
Yeah, if you are a weight loss free agent right now and you are looking for a program, you're looking to sign with a place that works, well, that Sports Dad right there dropped 40 pounds. And there are countless people who are Score North fans, consumers, who have joined as well and have sent us notes about the fact that Livia works. They're going to help you drop the weight. And probably most importantly, they're going to help you keep that weight off. Their program absolutely works. And right now, have I got a free agent weight loss offer for you, which is if you join now, 3 months for free. That's right. 3 months for free to drop a ton of weight, to feel great. And you're just starting on a program that, again, I can tell you works. If you're outside the state and you're like, oh, Judd, this sounds great, but I can't join because I am in, I don't know, I'm a Twins fan in Florida or something. No concern, because Livia can be done all virtually. 855-GO-LIVIA, livia.com, LIVEA.com. And don't forget, 3 months for free if you join now, livia.com.
Also, a shout out to our friends at Zero Res here with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Google with 17,000 reviews. How about that for credibility? Here to deep clean your homes. If you ask for the Score North special, you can get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119 and a free hallway. And this month, get $75 off when you get your air ducts Zero Res clean. That's 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North special. Spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res. Okay. Judd alluded to this, but the Twins still have some options out there if they want to add a player either to the rotation or maybe a right-handed bat. So we were emailing this weekend, and Judd mentions that the Bally's deal now secure, obviously, for 2024. And didn't you float last week that we think it's like a 20% cut from the previous deal?
Yeah, it's been reported as 15%, and I was told it's more than that. So for the sake of it, I said, let's just say it's 20.
So even if you cut 20% off the $154 million payroll from last year, they still have a little wiggle room to spend some money. Cody Bellinger is still sitting out there. Now, even if it was like a one-year Carlos Correa-type deal from 2 years ago, it's going to cost you $20-25 million probably for him. Blake Snell, probably the same thing. Jordan Montgomery is still sitting out there.
The pitching really intrigues me. I'm not sure about you guys, but that's where I get really interested.
Jordan Montgomery would be your number two starter behind Pablo Lopez if you signed him.
Yes.
And then Michael Taylor, there's outfielders like Michael Taylor could come back. Adam Duvall, right-handed bat. Tommy Pham, kind of a weirdo who gets in confrontations with fans and other people, but he rakes lefties and he's a good veteran right-handed bat. So do we think they're done? Do you think there's still a move lurking around the corner?
There, you know, I was grocery shopping on Saturday and I just got a gut feeling. I don't think they're done. I think they're going to do something. So
where were you in the grocery store? When
I was in produce. I was in produce, a Cub, which, you know, shout out Cub. Love you. But I was in produce and I'm walking through there and I'm thinking, are the Twins done? And then I got a gut feeling. No, I feel like, so here's why I think there's a chance left that there's a move to be made despite the loss of television revenue. And it's this. If the Twins had gone the MLB route, okay? If the Twins had said, you know what, we're done with Bally's, that's enough. But we're going to have, so we're basically going to go with the Rockies plan, I think the Padres, the Diamondbacks, which is, it's a streaming option with like the game comes on and it's on a select cable channel. That would have been, I think, more of a pay cut, but it would have been more palatable to fans because the streaming option then is there. Like all of the blackouts, if you go that route, are lifted, but they didn't, which is sort of odd, right? Well, my guess is the one good thing about the Bally's offer was it was in concrete. Like they have that money. Yeah, it's a pay cut, but there's no, but it's not a gamble. Like they're going to get this now. So it feels like there's more certainty to the payroll. And then we've talked about the whole Boris thing, which is he already parked a client here and it worked out pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And the Twins didn't screw him. So I just have a weird feeling that there is a move left. And to what you just said, Phil, you know, there's guys left and right. And Boris has these clients left. Just seems logical that the Twins could do an 11th hour pitching move. It might be pie in the sky, but in thinking of the TV deal itself and why you went the Bally's route, that at least gives you some certainty of income from television.
Yeah, I'm on the Blake Snell train till I die here, basically, or until he signs, I should say, not till I die, because actually there's probably a certain point. Yeah, either way, at this rate.
You don't know in life, dude.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
That's true. That's true. And I heard he had an offer on the table from the Yankees on Monday morning, too, so he could end up still in pinstripes. But I would love one more frontline starter on this team. And if that creates a logjam in the rotation, if that bumps Di Sclafani, if that's a six-man
that's
rotation,
not a logjam.
That is an easy decision to make, baby.
That's not a bump, dude.
That's an easy decision to make. You want those good problems to have. But he would be a frontline starter. I know he has a walk problem. He doesn't really necessarily go as deep as maybe you'd like, but he is still a nasty pitcher.
That's a problem, though.
I don't think it is either. But Royce is right. I like this bullpen, and I think it can be like a super bullpen that can come in starting in the sixth inning and put teams away. But they got a ton of innings pitched from Sonny Gray. They lost a good portion from Kenta Maeda. How are they replacing those innings? That is still a question mark that I think we're kind of just sweeping under the rug saying, oh, it's a great bullpen. They'll figure that out. Right. They need guys to still eat innings. And just having an extra frontline starter makes life so much easier come October. So it's probably more likely that it is maybe a center field or an outfield right-handed bat replacement. But personally, if I was running the Twins, I would do whatever it takes basically to sign Blake Snell.
I think a right-handed bat is coming at a reduced rate. Mm-hmm. Like I think those guys can be had for cheap, to your point, Dex. Because I'm thinking a splash of some sort. Like a right-handed bat now, if it's Taylor, Duvall, Pham, that's not a splash.
That doesn't change the division.
No, here's some insurance. Here's some insurance, and you could use most definitely a right-handed outfield bat. I'm thinking there might be a real signing left.
To me, I'm in on Snell too. Don't get me wrong here, but Jordan Montgomery is one that we kind of barely talked about because we all assumed he was just going to go back to the Rangers and like, well, it hasn't happened yet, right?
Right.
So he had last season a top 10 WAR among all starting pitchers. 13th. He was 13th. Blake Snell was 14th. They both were over four wins above replacement. Also, for innings pitch, too, you're looking to fill innings, looking to fill Sonny Gray innings, looking to fill Kenta Maeda innings, right? 188 innings last year for Jordan Montgomery. Blake Snell threw 180. So I also bringing in a lefty would be interesting for this rotation, like a really good lefty, just to throw the other teams off a little bit and make them have to shuffle lineups. And so I count me in on if there's a way to get Jordan Montgomery on a short term deal, a Carlos Correa type deal. He's my number one, and Blake Snell is like a 1B. Both those guys would be your number two starters going right into the season or going into a playoff series. So
they make a difference.
Yep. And Tommy Pham, if you're looking for someone to confront somebody else about a fantasy baseball altercation.
I don't want him. This team has made some very questionable additions at times as far as personalities go. You know Michael A. Taylor. If he thought he was going to break the bank somehow, he ain't, right?
Yeah, but last year Michael A. Taylor was told, dude, you're starting in center field, so strap in.
Right.
This year he's being told, at least to start with, right, Byron Buxton is the starting center fielder. You're going to come in as a fourth outfielder. So he might not even, in terms of opportunity, he might not even view the Twins as a great option. We'll see. He's going to sign somewhere.
They might not be, but he's still not employed.
Yep.
I'm sure you're right.
Yep. He's still sitting out there. So, all right, there's your updates from the weekend. Spring training happening down in Fort Myers, and the Scornar Twin Show is full steam ahead. We're working on a couple fun things for the season that we will announce sometime soon, but yeah, if you haven't already, give this show a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and click that like button on the Score North YouTube channel, the Score North Twin Show. See you guys.